We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online, tvacreditunion.com, and become a member. Business banking, personal banking. You need to refinance your mortgage. Anything a bank can do, they can do it, typically with better rates. And the customer service is incredible. The Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out, tvacreditunion.com. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out. The Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They were saying yesterday on the drive, I guess, there's more and more stuff being leaked out that the coaching staff's just an absolute train wreck. Brian sent us that message. That's just like a ticking time bomb over there.
Mm.
I mean, that happens.
Tick faster.
Like, anytime you're losing, I mean, that just happens, right? I mean, you got guys that have all been successful in...
There's losing, and then there's this.
Their playing days, their coaching days, and then you get in a situation where you're just losing in embarrassing fashion. And then you pile that on with off-the-field stuff, and... Yeah, I don't know how...
My thing is, like, let's just look past this season. How on earth are they going to get anyone excited for 2021? And if you are able to sell tickets, who's buying that product?
I did see somebody make kind of a good point that enough people have rolled 2020 to 2021 that the university kind of already has the money, I guess, on those. But, like, they lost so much money this year. Surely they're at a massive shortfall. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember what the exact numbers were.
I think Fulmer said it was like $44 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a friend. He had two tickets sitting in his dashboard, and someone ended up leaving two more with him. So.
I mean, barring a miracle over these last two or three games, depending on how many we play, I feel like financially, at least for next year, it makes more sense to go get Hugh Freeze. I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
you basically immediately make back what you've lost in ticket sales, right?
So ticket sales for 2019, $29 million. I don't know what they were this year.
Not that. Probably not.
Oh,
even
sure. No, I mean, they couldn't
a quarter
be
of that.
Yeah.
They haven't even been selling out the 25% capacity, 20% capacity, whatever.
Gotta remember, they did double dip, so that will account for something.
Yeah, it's true. They
they can't even get rid of all their student tickets, and those are $10. I told you guys they had it restricted where you could only buy a ticket to either the Florida
game
Alabama,
or the Alabama game.
They let me buy both.
Oh yeah, I mean they're hurting for anything. I'm surprised they hadn't dropped the price on the student ticket.
Free. We'll pay you.
I mean, seriously, though, like, what's more detrimental? Like, look, even hypothetically, let's say you hired Hugh Freeze and it didn't work out and you had to fire him in 3 or 4 years. But at least you get the 1 year next year of, hey, there's hope, right? Like,
well, you probably get 2 years. I mean, like, take Ole Miss, for example. Year one, Lane Kiffin, they're not going to win a lot this year, but they've been so exciting. Those fans will be there next year.
100%.
You're going to get, you get 2, 3, 4 years even out of a guy you fire if. I mean, hell, we got that out of Butch Jones. That's how bad Jeremy Pruitt is. It's a mess. Let's go to the phone lines and get Zach. He's been patiently waiting. What's up, Zach? You're on 3 and Out.
What do you say, Houston, Nate, Davey, and Alex?
Morning, brother.
How are you guys doing today?
We're hanging in there.
Oh, just, you know.
Just handy.
just driving around.
Might have to check out early again this week.
Well, there goes my favorite player.
Yeah.
It took me a whole week to decide who it was, and now he's off the team, so now I don't have one. So I don't think I've ever had a Vols team where I didn't have at least a favorite player. It's not the player's fault. It's the coach's fault, by the way. But
yeah, Zach, were you the one that made that really good point that there's no star players on this team? Like, no, there's no player the kids are running around going, you know, I want to be the next Boobie Miles. Like, there's just no, we don't have any of those guys.
There's no Juwan.
Yeah.
I want to be the next JG. Oh, sorry. Guys, I said this on the drive yesterday. I really mean it, and I'm not just living in the moment. I can't stand this guy more than any coach we've had over there. And that includes Sal Cenceri and Butch Jones. That's my level right now.
That bad, huh?
It's bad. It's bad. I'd take Butch Jones over this guy in a heartbeat. At least he has some good recruiting classes. And he could develop players better than this guy.
And that's one of the things we said here. He couldn't do.
Yeah. I mean, this is how bad it is. You guys know that Mullen, for the first 33 games he's been at Florida, is actually better than Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer.
Neat.
That's exciting.
And, you know, I blame Curry on that. I mean, Mullen maybe, you know, wanted to go to Florida, but, I mean, that's how close we were. And everything we look at, look how close we were on everything. Mm. of course, maybe Mullen would have got here and floundered out, but I doubt it. He can develop quarterbacks, and that's the name of the game. I think Sarah Fuller is looking better than some of Jeremy's recruits right now.
She at least gets the way field.
the way things are going. I just don't see how you can look at it from the outside if you're Philip Fulmer and saying that this thing's going well. Hmm. I mean, how can a logic person? I think Fulmer's a smart football man. How can he sit there and say everything's going okay?
Ego.
Just COVID year.
It's ego. It's what it is. It's always ego. He made the hire. He's going to find some way to convince himself that it wasn't a bad decision, that even though things aren't looking good now, it's going to get fixed. Just give it time. That's how it works. That's how it always works.
Yep. That's in this book I've been reading, how people operate.
And, you know, the last point I wanted to make, so you guys kind of were talking about Vanderbilt, whether it would actually help us or hurt us to play them. You know, think about what we're talking about here. We're actually, I don't know if you guys are, I am, admittedly, rooting against the team so we can see a greater good. And we're trying to figure out which way we could lose the worst to make the decision better. And why I've been listening to your all station, you know this, for a long time. You guys have some great guests. But these guests keep saying the same thing. They keep saying, well, nothing's, you know, it doesn't seem to be nothing's on the table right now, but let's see how these three games play out. Really? We're going to wait until you're measuring six Vanderbilt? You have to get pummeled in three games before they wake up and say, well, okay, now it's on the table. You can't see it right now. You see what you guys see what I'm saying? Like, your measuring stick's going to be Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's so I don't even know. I think these people, whether they're media members, fans, that try to say, like, you can't fire a coach after and just fill in the blank. Like, they were so hopeful, and hopeful is not even the right word for media people that are supposed to be unbiased, and many of them are. Many media people are so jaded at this point, they don't really care if Tennessee does well because they've had to cover this slop for so long. Like, they look at it, and you've got a new coach, it's Jeremy Pruitt. Philip Fulmer tells them it's a good coach. So in their head, you kind of shape it up as, well, obviously he's a good coach. He's was good at Florida State, good at Alabama, like he should be. And so when things go poorly, instead of just grading him with a blank slate, you just constantly boost hit, like, what he should be. For some reason, it's like you're just sticking to your original thought even when all the results are to the opposite. And I mean, and it's a whole thing. I mean, I mentioned that, like, it's Dale Carnegie. It's like how to win friends and influence people. Like, you can talk to people who have obviously made huge mistakes in, you know, war or in whatever, and they are still convinced they made the right decision. I mean, we made fun of Davey the other day because he rolled in. He's like, man, I lost that bet the other night. But, man, it was the right bet. Like, did you see the game? It's like.
That wasn't me. That was Will.
Was it Will? Well, we did that. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. It was Will. Will came in and was like, it was the right bet. It's like, if it didn't cash, it wasn't the right bet. Like, at the end of, it's like, that's what we do with these football programs. And I don't know why Tennessee's worse at it than anyone else, Zach. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Texas.
Anyone in the conference, yep.
And Texas is barely losing to, like, top 10 teams, and they're like, yeah, we might need to consider firing our coach. Tennessee's getting housed by underperforming Kentucky teams, and no one can say that? I don't know. I don't understand where that comes from. I wasn't even in sports media. I wasn't even thinking about it. Derek Dooley's, it was his year two, right, where he loses to Kentucky at the end of the season, and I'm listening to caller after caller after caller call the sports animal and say, we need to fire him now. He just lost to a receiver playing quarterback. It was 10-7. He's lost the locker room. He's lost the team. What are they doing over there? And just, I mean, host after host after host, some of the guys I like over there, some of the guys I don't, just told every caller, you can't fire a coach after year two. Can't fire a coach after year two. Can't fire a coach after year two.
You don't want to bite the hand that feeds.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
That's what it is, though.
And it's like, what? Why? Like, what?
People are trying to protect relationships in situations like this.
They know who butters their bread.
I guess, but
that's the same thing. I tuned in the other day. I don't want to admit it, but it was like that as well. Like, I always love a good dumpster fire, and just I like actually listening to people try to cover up for something that I think they even know is not the case. Like, they're just putting on a show. That's all it is.
Nate, thank God for you guys, because I used to have to listen to that slop because there was really no other alternative. So I'm glad you guys came around. Last point I'll make, I'm out of here, but you know, besides losing by 50, I'd like to see some really, really bad things on Saturday. I want some sideline brawls. I want some referees knocked over. I want some coaches in each other's hair. I want that whiteboard kicked again, don't you? No, I don't want that. I want fans coming out of the stands. I'd like to see total mayhem.
What fans?
You guys take care.
Yeah. See you, Zach.
Thanks for the call. It is crazy, though. I mean, we joke about the Vol for Life Facebook groups, but there's the people that call our show and listen that are like, in any other world, at any other school, you would just fire this guy this year. Like, he's been awful. He's been, like, the worst coach in the conference. And for a school that expects to be top 10 in the country year in, year out, to have the worst coach in a 14-team conference, I mean, it sounds impossible. It's like, how does that even make any sense? I mean, but we've just been gaslit by everyone around here that just wants to think of, like, I don't understand. I guess it's because everybody here is so passionate about Tennessee. We do have phenomenal fans, and it's really hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, we're the problem, right? Like no one does that. No one looks in the mirror in 2020 and says, you know, I'm the reason I'm not better at this or this or this. I'm the reason that I'm, you know, I'll use stuff that applies. I'm the reason that I'm overweight. I should work out more. I'm the reason that I didn't do a better job on that because I didn't prep for it enough or whatever the case may be, right? No one does that. Everyone looks in the mirror and goes, man, if it wasn't for COVID, or man, if it was, you know, my boss is being mean to me. And no one takes responsibility for anything. And so as Tennessee fans, we love Tennessee. We love the T. We love the orange so much that instead of just admitting that this is maybe like the worst, it might not be, I mean, hell, it kind of, over Butch Jones' last year and now, this is probably the worst the school's ever been. But instead of Philip Fulmer just looking at it and just admitting that, it's just easier to blame it on other stuff, to blame it on other people, to blame it on the time period we're in, to blame it on, I mean, I got people saying, well, you know, South Carolina and Kentucky, they're just a lot better than they used to be when Philip Fulmer was the coach. I don't care. This is sports. I don't care if they're a little better than they used to be. We should be so much better than them, it doesn't matter. Florida is better than South Carolina and Kentucky and Missouri. I mean, he just pointed it out. Like, Steve Spurrier started 9-2, 10-2, 9-4. And Dan Mullen is on a better pace right now through three seasons. I mean, barely. But, you know, 10-3, 11-2, 7-1. I mean, like, it's embarrassing. And at some point, you got to look at the mirror and be like, I'm a fat ass. I need to go to the gym. Instead of being like, well, if those kids would quit, you know, if my boss would quit putting that candy bowl out there, it's all his fault. Like, quit blaming other people. Quit blaming the situation. Like, fix it, Phil. You said you would. You told us you would. And maybe that's the thing that makes me the most upset, is these people, they tell us that they're going to. They literally beg us for money. Beg us. Davey has spent God knows how much money to get a law degree from over there, and they're still begging him for money. Houston tried to give him money, and they wouldn't even give him his tickets. And then they turn around and sell them to someone else. Like,
they didn't get my money, though. Not this year.
Somehow they bungled that so much they wouldn't even take. They tried to give him money, and they wouldn't take it. We can't get anything right over there. Anything.
No. You're right.
It's like we are.
And the silence from Fulmer throughout all this has been just. I get you don't want to come out and give him the vote of confidence, but like something.
Say something.
And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe he's behind the scenes is saying, like, you know what?
Behind the scenes, he had a Zoom meeting last week with all the leadership and said, our team is better than they've been on the field this year. Just be patient with us.
Then get a coach who can get that out of them.
For real. That's my take.
It's like, you're admitting that the talent is better than the results, so what's the issue?
It's the coaching.
Direction of the talent.
It absolutely is.
Now, in the last, the Kevon Bennett thing, like, again, like, that shows serious problems culturally.
One of your best players is a drug dealer.
Yeah. Like,
that's fact.
Yeah. That's not, you can't explain that away. And, I get it, it's tough to keep track on, 85 to 105 people, but pretty big issue,
I mean, what's the AA stuff, like the steps, like in one of the first, or am I mixing
the very
my
first step is admit you have a problem.
We haven't even done that yet.
No,
with the leadership over there, the fans have done that off and on. Like, we haven't even admitted we have a problem. I don't know. I mean, I guess in a way Fulmer did when he said, like, we expect our coach to compete with Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. He was saying we haven't been doing that. And he said we got to fix football. So it's like he admitted we had a problem, then hired a guy, and from then on has done nothing to admit we still have that problem. It's almost, it'd be like an alcoholic saying, yep, I'm an alcoholic, I'm going to the meetings, and then just going out and getting hammered every night regardless. It's like we're trying, it's like we're doing both. We're still doing the dumb crap that we've done for 20 years to be terrible
while trying to save face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I'm, and that's the beauty of sports, right? Like there's been so much politics in 2020. And part of politics is always, no matter what the results are, spin it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That's politics. Sports are supposed to be different. Sports are supposed to be, hey, your team might have 5 stars, my team might have 3 stars, but for the next 60 minutes, there's a scoreboard, there's a game, we've agreed on the rules, we're going to play, and whoever gets the most points on that is the winner, and whoever gets the least points is the loser, and it's black and white. We don't have to worry about marketing and publicity and spin zone and fake news. I mean, it's just right there on the scoreboard. But somehow we have, like, taken that and twisted it up now to where you can lose 35-7 or whatever it was, 35-10 and
34-7.
Yeah. You can lose 34-7 and people just spin it somehow and try and make you feel better about it. It's like, no, it was Kentucky 34, Tennessee 7.
Well, look at the Auburn game. What did he say after the Auburn game? Our best offensive performance of the season
That's a lie.
You scored 13 points. I don't care about yards.
I'd argue 20.
Hmm?
He's just making a joke.
Gotcha. You scored more than half of your total for the other team.
I guess the thing that makes me the most mad is that Philip Fulmer's not pissed right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, that, maybe he is.
Maybe he is.
He's saying this to the, you know, but maybe behind the scenes he does have his short list. Maybe he's further. That was the one thing about Curry, right? Like, he literally had no idea he needed to even think about firing Butch Jones until Georgia.
Right.
And then waited until November to do it. I'm hopeful that Philip Fulmer, after last year, at least at the beginning of last season, you know he had to be thinking about it. You're 0-2, losses to Georgia State and BYU. He had to at least start to think about what if I have to fire this guy.
Yeah. We saw that picture Trey put out of him after the BYU
loss. He looked furious.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that candle was lit last year. Then maybe – I mean, I'm just saying, if he isn't thinking about it, I'm not – probably not after Georgia, but after Kentucky, if you're Philip Fulmer, you got to start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bama, you got just annihilated, whatever. But then you go on the road after a bye week to Arkansas, you're up 13-0, and then just get waxed in the third. Like, it's not working out. So hopefully, if you're Philip Fulmer and you're thinking, okay, we're going to lose a bunch of money this year, how can we save next year and the year after? It ain't going to be by kicking this can down the road, I don't think. Again, unless there's some miracle over the next three games, like it is financially irresponsible to bring him back because you're not going to sell tickets. People aren't going to go buy gear. No one's going to be interested. Yeah, you're going to – I mean, and maybe that's part of the problem now. Like, the conference is so rich, it's like, oh, yeah, well, we'll just get bowl money and TV money from everybody else. We don't really have to win.
I mean, basically –
we don't have to spend money.
Basically, you're becoming Vanderbilt. Like, we don't care about the results on the field. As long as we just stay in the SEC, I'll just have my job, and that'll be it.
I'll just give myself another extension.
I mean, since 2000 –
but surely to God, if anybody at least wants to see Tennessee football not be an embarrassment, it's Philip Fulmer, right?
Like, I mean, you would think so, unless
this is teed up for him. I mean,
this is maybe the best crop of potential coaches.
Well, that and the number one guy that I think is on your board or should be.
He'll give you the hometown discount. He loves you.
Is like dying to come here. Like, snuck into the stadium on his honeymoon, wants to be here. Like,
yeah, like
it's never been this easy.
If his background's different, Hugh Freeze is going to go to take another job over Tennessee. Like, there's Hugh Freeze coaching level. And it's like up here, and if other jobs came open this cycle, you might lose him. It's like Dan Mullen was always going to pick Florida over Tennessee.
Right, right.
If that was Hugh Freeze and there was no background, he'd pick Florida over Tennessee. But Hugh Freeze has background that ties him to Tennessee. It's perfect.
Yeah, so I think he would pick Tennessee over Auburn.
Right.
Certainly over, you know, Vanderbilt or South Carolina. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's never really been this – not only this easy. Like, you got Lane Kiffin.
It'd be like Michigan coming available and having a coach
yes.
with a blank slate that's just the best coach, and they both go after him. Does he pick Tennessee or Michigan? I don't know. Probably – it just depends, right?
Right, right.
But you have Hugh Freeze. He's going to pick Tennessee if it's close.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning with the 2011 season,
oh boy.
Tennessee is 25 – and 54, as long as I did the math right in my head, in SEC football games. 25 and 54. That's 2011 through the last game we played this season. 25 and 54.
A bunch of those sports publications put out, like, you know, the records for the past decade, and I believe we were second worst above Arkansas. Maybe Vanderbilt. But we're right there with them.
Well, we were – yeah, we looked at that a while back. I mean, we were behind South Carolina and Missouri in the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did the thing where Missouri and A&M came into the conference, and I was looking at the records since then, and Tennessee's, we're at the bottom with Arkansas.
I mean, think about that. That means for every SEC game we've won, and that counts Vanderbilt, that counts Kentucky, that counts South Carolina, that counts Missouri. I mean, in my head, those should be wins every year.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you take those four games, you should go 3-1 every year.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those, South Carolina, Missouri, usually maybe Kentucky every once. They usually cycle up, and that's a tough game. But that counts all those. That counts a West opponent mm-hmm. every year, which a lot of years that's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
But still, for every SEC game you win, you lose more than two more on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be 10 years when this season ends. In 3 weeks, that will be 10 years of data where every SEC game you win – there is more than two losses out there.
What's our record?
25-54.
No, this year?
2-5. Yeah.
Double and right. change, right?
Yeah.
I mean that proves it. The best you could do this year is 5-5.
So you're below that level right now with Jeremy Pruitt, which means that he is worse than Derek Dooley and Butch Jones combined. Actually, I threw out Derek Dooley's. That doesn't count Derek Dooley's 3-5 in 2010, which would actually bring your numbers up. In fact, there was a stat I heard yesterday. Jeremy Pruitt, it depends on how you classify blowouts, but I think if you use the number like 24 points, Jeremy Pruitt has been blown out in more games so far at Tennessee than Derek Dooley and Butch Jones combined. So in 8 years of Dooley Jones getting beat by, I think it was 24 or more points, Pruitt already has them beat, and we haven't even finished 3 years.
2.5 seasons, yeah.
Yeah. Unreal. Come back with more. Stick with us.
Mm.
Try and not be so angry.
Why not?
I don't know. Yeah. It's good for the soul.
Just let it ride.
Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Appreciate you tuning in as we wade through the mess that is Tennessee 2020. Yeah, I just... At what point is somebody just going to say this is... I think part of our issue now is we've let this program fall so far. There's no... it doesn't rate on the national scale for a media member to call you out and be like, man, Tennessee really sucks. Like, if somebody writes that article, they don't, like, they get more clicks, they get more revenue to write articles about other stuff. So, like, we've let it fall so far that no one cares about us anymore. I mean, I think that's why, I don't know, I mean, Michigan's a good comparison. I feel like they've let their program just fall and fall and fall, and the only reason that they're gonna be getting those clicks right now is because Jim Harbaugh's their coach. It'd be like if we were having to fire John Gruden.
Mm.
But it's like we don't even realize we have an issue. We just got to ride it out. Our team's better than they've shown on the field. I mean, maybe the combination of having drug dealers on the team and losing all your best recruits will wake somebody the hell up over there. All right, man, I got you. And I do agree with you. We are in that kind of that purgatory point where what Philip Fulmer's really thinking probably can't be shared.
Right.
So I guess what my problem is, I'm getting to the point where I'm losing that hope that that's happening. So you're saying, I hope Philip Fulmer...
Who blames you?
Yeah. You're saying, I hope Philip Fulmer is more upset about this than he's letting on. I think that makes perfectly logical sense that he would be. But I'm losing hope that anyone over there even cares anymore. Or that if Fulmer cares, he can't get anyone else to. You know, that Boyd and Plowman are like, simmer down, Philip. We have other issues. It's a pandemic year. Like, you extended Pruitt. You're just going to have to keep him. Just deal with it for now. We got to figure out how to get students mm-hmm. back on campus for 2021 and get them vaccinated. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
If they don't move on from Pruitt after this year, barring these next two losses, because I understand he shouldn't be back, but if they somehow beat a top 10 team, which Tennessee hasn't had since 2007, I understand why the administration would bring him back. But that's not going to happen. And so even if they play Vanderbilt and they beat Vanderbilt, if that game does happen, but 3-7 and they bring Pruitt back, like, I'm calling for Fulmer's job as well. Like, he doesn't deserve to be in that position. You could argue he doesn't deserve to be in that position as we speak.
Yeah, Janeway says there's just no trust that they'll make the right decision because they haven't, I mean, haven't done it in so long. That's true. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We got Grachi, first time caller on. What's up? You're on 3 and Out.
How we doing, boys?
Nah. Nah.
I think the problem with Fulmer is that in the last 6 months, it seems like his focus has changed from turning this program around to keeping his job. And in order for him to do that, he's essentially lowering the standard in which we judge our program. I mean, again, if he convinces us to keep this coach after he goes 3-7, we're going to keep this coach for 2 or 3 more years. Because, again, Pruitt's going to go out and win 4 or 5 games next year. And if that happens, Fulmer is going to look at us and say, look, told you guys, we're turning this thing around. It's improvement. And it just essentially tells us we're not one of the big boys anymore. Mm. We're something else. And when you look at Fulmer's moves, I mean, again, secretly extending his contract, that is unheard of. How does that not announce to the public? And then coming out and extending Pruitt 2 years, you are bidding against no one else. No one is coming after Pruitt. Who in the world was going to come after Pruitt? You extended him for no reason other than ego and essentially keeping your job. Because as long as Pruitt is there, Fulmer's going to be there. And it just seems like in the last 6 months, Fulmer has changed his focus to getting us back to where we need to be, to how do I keep this million-dollar check coming in each year?
And that's what's amazing to me, though. Like, you want to keep that job? Have a winning program.
Yeah.
Like, make whatever, like...
Just win.
Don't worry about the money right now. Just go hire a damn winner, especially this one, because it's teed up for you. Like, it's easy. And I don't... Maybe some of the administration would, you know, oh, how... You know, can't make that... If you go hire a winner, none of the... It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has been Tennessee's problem for a long, long time. We wait too long to make a move because we're so worried about, oh, we don't want to waste the money. We don't want to waste the money. We don't want to waste the money. Like... Do we think they're good stewards of finance over there? Because nope. Of all the waiting? It's bad. So, like, Fulmer does not need to compound mistakes like the raise and extension for Pruitt and himself by lying to himself and saying this guy's going to get it done. Like, I don't think the result over the next 3 weeks, I don't think anything changes. I mean, Pruitt is who he is.
Yeah.
Now, I've said I want to see him with a new quarterback. Regardless, though, I'd still rather have Hugh Freeze with this roster next year than Jeremy Pruitt. I don't think there's a universe that exists in which Jeremy Pruitt is a better head coach at the University of Tennessee than Hugh Freeze would be. I mean, especially in the next 3-4 years.
Right.
The only hope that we're holding on to is that Fulmer hasn't come out and said anything, right?
Right.
If they are talking to Freeze, they can't come out and say that.
Right.
But I guess the one thing that we can hold on to is that Fulmer hasn't said anything. Maybe just waiting for... I get. What are we waiting for?
I don't know. That's what I... Well, I mean, I guess maybe the end of the season. But I don't know. I mean, it's also tough when you look at South Carolina making a move in the middle of the season, Vanderbilt making a move in the middle of the season. Other schools that are, at least right now, beneath you, are willing to take those chances and make those moves, and you're not. Like, is South Carolina not going through a financial loss this year? Is Vanderbilt not losing money due to the pandemic? Are we the only school that's going to lose money this year if we fire a coach? No.
I just hate that we're being robbed from being able to cheer on our team. You know, if you know he's not the guy, then you fire him, you put in an interim, you give us something to hope for this weekend. I mean, I can't even watch this Florida game and even just be like, well, it's cold weather. We're putting a new quarterback. Who knows? You know, I can't even, like, look. I'm like, please, Trask, throw 7 touchdowns in the first half. Like, and that's Florida. I hate Florida more than I hate anything else in the entire world. Hmm. And I'm wanting them to beat us by 50. That's not okay.
Thanks for the call.
And you're not alone. I mean, you heard Zach.
Not your fault.
Zach wants chaos. Yeah. Matt wants us to get just shot down.
They interviewed Palmer, and he's like, I didn't know anything about the Florida rivalry. I've learned to hate them in a friendly way.
I don't make too much of a deal of that.
It just goes to the fact that these kids that play for Tennessee now don't remember a time when it was the game.
Well, you heard what
the SEC East.
You heard what the Florida player said. I mentioned this yesterday. Like, I haven't played against a competitive Tennessee team. I don't know what that's like. I know it's Tennessee, Florida. That's like a big deal to some people around here, but it doesn't mean much to me.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina has a larger projected budget loss than we do. $58 million to our $40 million.
Good. Mm-hmm. 58.
Well, they basically said we'll lose more money by keeping Will Muschamp, and I think Tennessee will too if they'll just crunch the numbers. I mean, if they brought Hugh Freeze in, he'll be signing up for season tickets.
Yeah. And donations would go up because it would actually, instead of it looking like, okay, we took a chance on a guy from Cincinnati, took a chance on a coordinator, I mean, remember the bump we got when we hired Kiffin? I mean, it was crazy. People were excited. We weren't even going to be that good, but it was just like he had an attitude about him. Like you could feel just confidence. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that forever. We've had hope because that's what fans do. That's what people who care about a team do. They have hope.
You hoped that he was going to be good, and you knew that no matter what, it was going to be entertaining.
Right.
And we are neither of those.
Yeah.
Like you said, right. I mean, you keep going back to that. You're bad and boring.
We're bad and boring.
And the problem is, and the last caller, I mean, said it, like, next year, if the team does get a little better, they're going to win more games, and you're going to have people saying, see, they're getting better, and they're going to hold on to that hope that it's going to get there, but, I mean...
Well, next year, you're going to get those 4 easy out-of-conference games back. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit this season, but those kind of cover up really bad seasons. Like, when you have those 5-7 seasons, and you beat all 4 of your bye games, basically.
I mean, we've been doing this radio show, though, when people were mad at going 8-4, and now you just mentioned 5-7 like it's nothing. Like, 5-7 at Tennessee used to be, fire the guy immediately. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, the only time that wasn't a thing is when it happened to Philip Fulmer the first time, and everybody's like, whoa, 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 what the hell's going on here? And it's like, well...
Yeah, but he had built equity.
And, right, and like, it's like, well, it's Philip Fulmer. If it was anybody else, we'd just fire him, but it's Philip Fulmer. Let's see what he can do next year. And the next year, they bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's like, okay, okay, okay. And then the next time it happened, okay, I don't care. Even though it's Philip Fulmer, we got to fire him. He did this twice. Now it's like, you mentioned 5-7, and people are like, yeah, 5-7, no problem. Like, what the hell? It's like this isn't even Tennessee anymore.
Since 2008, we've had, including 2008, we've had 5-5-7 seasons in the last, well, since then.
Well, it was 07 the last time we had 10 wins in a year?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that 5-7 or worse? Because, like,
yeah.
Dooley went
5-7 3 times. Or no, he didn't. He
He went 7-6, 5-7, 5-7.
Yeah.
I mean, Butch went 4-8.
But that's what it was. Butch went 5-7 his first year, so he had 3 years of 5-7.
Well, right. Dooley went 6-7.
For his first year. Yeah, 6-7, 5-7, 5-7. Butch went 5-7, and then 7-6.
Mm-hmm. And then he was 9-4 for 2 years, and then down to 4-8.
Yeah.
I mean, going under 500 at Tennessee before Philip Fulmer did it the first time would have been unheard of. Like, If you had asked somebody, hey, Fulmer's going to retire at the end of this year, you know, we're going to bring in a new guy, he's going to go 5-6, you know, the old 11-game schedule. Like, people would lose their mind. They would be like, no, I they wouldn't even know how to react.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back then, like, it was, people hated Fulmer because he'd lose two games a year, and one of them was Florida.
Yep.
Like, that was a bad year. Bad year, Philip Fulmer. You better be better next year. I can't believe you lost a Spurrier again and then dropped one later in the season to number five Auburn. Like, come on. What are you doing?
From my generation standpoint, look at it a little differently to where it's one of those things to where, I mean, obviously, like, getting to a bowl is a big goal. And I know that's sad to say, but what you want to see is just that you're competitive and that you're in every game. And that's been my biggest thing with Pruitt ever since he's really got here. And I kind of gave him some grace early on. Like, I knew this was a little bit of a rebuild. But when you continue, and my goal for him this year was to keep one of the Florida, Georgia, or Alabama games within 20 points, and he can't even do that. Like, it's year three. If you can't do that, then you're not the guy for the job. Philip Fulmer said it. You said it. And then whenever you add on top of it 20-point losses to Kentucky, double-digit losses to Arkansas, who went 0-19 in the SEC before this season. Like, it's a big problem.
So Fulmer going under 500 the second time is what got him fired. We've been under 500 seven times since then in 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And because, you know, because it's this week, like, I just keep going and looking at Florida because it – Florida has some things that are worse than Tennessee in terms of resources and stuff. They have some things that are better, but really, like, those two programs, you should be able to compare those two programs in modern football, and Tennessee has just been woefully inadequate during that stretch. We'll come back. Final segment. If you want to wait on the phone lines, 865-546-8200. The G3 Help Me hotlines are open a little bit longer. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour two, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and bet along with us. We love it. You will too. Use our promo code 3OUT. You got an NFL game today in the afternoon. Can't beat that. I guess it's still happening, right? Kept waiting for them to cancel it yesterday. But
the Ravens want it canceled.
The Ravens do?
Yeah.
Can't wait to watch RG3 take on that Pittsburgh defense. Might conjure up some play from the football team. I mean, the Reds... can I call them Redskins if they were Redskins when I'm talking about them?
No.
Or do I still have to call them football team? I don't know. I'm confused. All right. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Betting is legal now in the great state of Tennessee, and you can get in on the action. They're still doing that first bet up to $1,000 back if you don't win it for new users at FanDuel Sportsbook. Download it today. Use our promo code 3OUT. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me hotlines. We got Jamie on the horn. What's up, Jamie?
Speaking of FanDuel, who had Seattle night before last?
A lot of people.
I had a small bet on them. That was frustrating.
I had the over-under, but yeah, that was Doug Peterson going all analytics whenever you're down 8, and you decide to go for 2 there instead of waiting another opportunity, which killed everyone.
Who does that?
Doug Peterson does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny, if I'd have had it the other way, if I'd have had the Eagles plus 6.5, you'd never see that. And I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And on a lesser note, last night, Kansas minus 4.5. The guy has the run out dunk at the end of the game to put it to 5, and he doesn't get the dunk off in time.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't watch the very end.
Oh, yeah. It was Kansas goes to the free throw line up 1 it, with about 10 seconds to go. Guy hits both of them, makes it 3. Kentucky comes down, shoots a 3, and they miss it, and the rebound gets knocked out. The guy has a run out. He takes it down in one hand, tomahawks it, just as the buzzer sounds. So
it's kind of like Admiral Schofield against Kentucky.
Yeah, Vegas wins.
Yeah. Oh, that
couple
like that,
bad ones there.
That Southern player hitting that 3 from behind half court the other day when Iowa was up like 27 or something, and there was a like Iowa grad. It's like some grandpa is watching it in like the garage with his son. He just starts breaking stuff. He had Iowa to like cover.
like 25, and this kid hits a three to make it 24 at the buzzer. I mean, just like he's just walking the ball up the court. No one's even playing anymore. Like, they've quit. The game is over. He's walking the ball up the court. He passes the top of the key, like, on the other side, and then he's looking at the clock, and he's like, I guess I'll heave one from here. And so he just chucks it from, like, from behind half court off the logo and just nails it at the buzzer to cover.
Ooh. Well, you know, that gives us something fun to talk about. One other one, I've seen somebody screenshotted their massive parlay that had Florida minus 24.5, where they led by 24 and ran three into the line at the goal line at the end of the game. You know, just get him a crease, you know. But anyway, I guess we've all cleaned out the account for the Gators this weekend.
No comment, but yes.
Yeah, you know, that brings up my point today. I mean, whose feet do we lay this blame at, that we're having to root against our own team? Who's responsible for that?
That is Jeremy Pruitt. It can change to where it gets on Fulmer. I'm giving Fulmer till the end of the year to make that change, or the end of the season, that is, which pretty much is the end of the year. But yeah, if Fulmer doesn't move on from Pruitt at the end of this year, it's on Fulmer. I understand he was in a tough position before this happened. Now, I do blame him for giving him that contract extension. I've been against that ever since we heard that was a thing. But Fulmer can still right his wrong. Now, will he do it? Remains to be seen. But he better be working behind the scenes right now, or it's his job too.
Okay, you know, I'm not going to argue that, Davey. That's fair. I mean, I guess it's because it's Philip Fulmer. He's got a little bit of slack with you. I understand that.
Not really.
I myself, not really.
No, it's like, I don't really give him, like, the best win I ever saw Philip Fulmer have was 2004 Florida. Like, I don't have this affinity for the guy. Like, I mean, I respect him for what he's done for Tennessee over the years, but it's like, I separate the AD position and what he did as a head coach. But I know coming in to this coaching search, which he kind of helped ousted Curry. I wanted Blackburn, but I was going to give his guy a chance. It didn't work out. I don't think there were a lot of red flags beforehand to say that this wasn't going to be good. But now that you've seen it, you got to go ahead and make that move.
Well, I'll tell you what my opinion is. I don't think, you know, a lot of fans, maybe not yourself, give, you know, when they think of Philip Fulmer, they picture him holding up the crystal football.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, this guy's shown me. Yeah, this guy's shown me throughout his career he cares a lot more about Philip Fulmer than he does anybody else. He refused to hire any assistant coaches over there that would maybe overshadow him when he was the head coach. He didn't have any problems politicking for the job while Johnny Majors had his heart wide open over UT Hospital. And you know, this whole leaving Mike Leach to go hire a guy who's, you're going to take a proven winner head coach, shove him off to the side to hire a coordinator. You know, take the names out of it, Mike Leach, Jeremy Pruitt. It just doesn't make sense. Got a proven winner head coach. I don't want him. I want a coordinator who's never been a head coach. It just, that baffles me. But I know we're up against the top of the hour, so I'll just say this. He could fire him at the end of the year, Davey. That's true. He could do that. But it'll never change the fact that, once again, Tennessee can't be a leader. You know, South Carolina is the one that broke the seal, followed by Vander freaking Bilt. And Tennessee going to do what we've been doing. And like, oh, okay, it's fair. It's fine. Now we can do it. Everybody else has jumped in the water to see if it's cold. And, okay, we'll get in now, too. It makes me want to vomit. When can we lead again? Ours was more egregious than any of their two. You know, we're a better program than this. We should have had more pride. We should have got rid of our guy. Guys, I appreciate y'all letting me in. Y'all hang in there.
Thanks, Jamie.
I get that, and I guess I could very well be on Jamie's side here in the next couple of weeks, but Hugh Freeze is obviously the guy we're looking at right now. He's coaching a team. He's not going to come out right now with what he's got going on at Liberty and say, yeah, I'm leaving right now for the Tennessee job. So that could be in the bag already. I doubt it, but it could be. And until I see proof one way or the other, I'm gonna hold out. But, yeah, I mean, like, and if you're Fulmer, and you're upset with how Pruitt's done things, why not just let him run out there and get his ass kicked the last 2 weeks? And, I mean, that's going to – it's like, hey, you made me look bad. I'm going to make it to where no one's going to want to hire you in a couple of years because you went 2-7. You got blown out 20 straight points or 7 straight blowout losses, however you want to classify it. He could be doing that. But, I mean, I'm not going to argue that Jamie said that Fulmer loves him some Philip Fulmer. Like, I believe that to be true. I also think he cares about the University of Tennessee. Now we'll see who he loves more at the end of the year. I think it'll be evident.
I don't blame Fulmer for trying to convince himself that the Pruitt hire was good. I have zero doubt that you get in a room with a whiteboard with Jeremy Pruitt, and he can talk ball, and he can talk about Jimbo and Mark Richt and Saban and all that. That's fine. But what you can't do if you're Philip Fulmer is just drag this on and make one mistake compound into, you know, 4 or 5 years of just bad football. Like, we're going the wrong direction. We continue to go the wrong direction. As I've said it, like, there is a teed up home run right here in front of you. It's going to cost you a bit of money, but when have they ever cared about that? You got to make the move. You can't let this mistake cripple the program for another 2 or 3 years. And you can fix it right now. There's never been an easier fix for the right now than to just go get Hugh Freeze. It's never existed for this program.
It's right there in front of you. Just make the call, do it, rip the Band-Aid off, let's go. We'll come back, kick off hour 2 or hour 3, next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.